All right, Revelation Road. Cruising down the road, amen? Again, happy Wednesday to everybody. Oh man, so glad to just be teaching and being in the house of the Lord. So faithful to us. He is so good to us. Revelation Road teaching. I want to kind of go back a little further. Some interesting information has come up, so I want to show this to you. And I don't know how much our YouTube audience, I think we're going to throw a link in there because they're not going to be able to see it, but I'll be able to explain it. And of course, those on live stream can see this. That's the benefit of being on live stream. Is that right? Or being in the house of the Lord. But I want to go back. I find this very interesting, and I want to just use this as an illustration to show you how close we are to so many major events taking place in biblical prophecy and according to the book of Revelation. And none of these things are by accident. None of these things are chance and something to just be thrown away and say, well, I don't know about that. Especially in the light of reading about it and hearing about it, and then all of a sudden you see from the book of Revelation, you see reality on our time. You say, what's that all about? Well, we got together not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, I was teaching about the Canary Islands and talking about what was happening in the past and how that possibly this asteroid that was coming could actually cause this to take place. And so on the news, all of a sudden, this came up. It happened just a couple days ago. Watch this. This thing is already erupting again. And there is La Palma. Look at that pool. Can't even take in the lava. It's absolutely devastating. Those, again, on YouTube, there'll be a link for this. We're just showing some of the video of what's taking place over there. About 10% of the entire island has been evacuated. And this is the area where scientists say that if this earth quakes and breaks, it will cause that tsunami that would just devastate the East Coast. Well, here we have a new fissure line. It's already causing a new line miles away from the epicenter. Just destroying farms, destroying homes. Isn't that amazing videos? To be a place of paradise, and it's a beautiful place, actually. I don't think I'd want to live there. Not near that mountain. That's one mountain I'd say, no, I'm good. But here we were just teaching about it. Then we have an eruption a couple days later, maybe a week or so later, then all this takes place. Just an amazing times we're living in. So, you know, is that biblical prophecy? No, it's a precursor. It's a precursor, and that's what I want us to see here in this teaching. So don't you know, take things like that and say, well, it's just natural occurring, you know, it's just the way nature is and all that. No, when you begin to teach about it and then you begin to see it, it ought to raise some big red flags of caution in your life and make you more of a person of prayer. Okay, so let's get into tonight, Revelation chapter 8. We were talking about last time, 10 through 13, because I got to show you something else that's very interesting. I just discovered it tonight. I had no idea, and no one on the planet had any idea, and it's going to tie into this. It's absolutely amazing. Verse 10, again, some people I told you were describing the same event. So let's go look at that. Chapter 8, verse 10, Revelation chapter 8, verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it was a lamp. Remember that? Lampos. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Go to the next verse. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they are made bitter. Go back to the verse 10. So we know it's a it's an asteroid. It's a mega or megastar. And it's strewn across the sky. And again, I told you that some scholars believe verses 7 through 10 are actually the breaking up of this particular asteroid. And there are several stages, but yet they're still part of the trumpet judgments. it doesn't, what difference does it make if the house burnt down from the front part of the house or the back part of the house? You know what I mean? What came first? It doesn't matter. The house burnt down. And so either way, these events are going to be, they're going to happen, and they're going to be dominoes. But listen to this. This is a very amazing thing. So here, I taught this, the 15th. Then the 15th of September. Then on the 16th, this event took place, and it's now being released today. Watch, look up here, and I'm going to read this to you. An asteroid skimmed past the Earth. Scientists didn't see it coming. It was the size of a 747. 747. You know why they couldn't see it? Because it came through the back door of the Earth. The sun was blocking it. And the scientists did not see it until the day after. Now think about this. This is the size of a 747 wingspan and the height of the Cinderella Castle in Disney World. So you go to the peak of that. If you've ever been there before, it's pretty tall. That's how tall and that's how wide. And we didn't see it coming. It passed between the Earth and the Moon. It was that close. Now, the last time we had a major hit was in Chelyabinsk, Russia. That one, the size was only 17 meters. This one was from 48 to 92. Again, the space of a 747. And the one in Chelyabinsk, it blew windows out of buildings in six different Russian cities, and did 1,500 people were injured. So incredible thing took place. But here this was the day after we taught on it, you know, and people were just doing their business, and at 4:28 is when it passed by the Earth. Now, say, what does that matter? That matters because this is going to happen. Revelation chapter 8 verse 10 will happen. And then you see something like this, it's a precursor. You go ahead and take that away because it's too much to read. It's a precursor. And I wanted everybody to see that. And that doesn't make anybody standing up here, oh, that's so wonderful. No, it's what the Bible said. All we're doing is reading the Bible. Then it comes up in the news and we go, oh my goodness. So I would just caution everybody that's involved in this church to be people of prayer, to be alert and to be listening, and don't get caught up with all the hype that's going on around us. So can you imagine that? The scientists didn't know till a day later. I guarantee if it hit us, they'd know that day. Yeah. So here we are doing our life things around us, and God is sending a precursor. He's warning us. So that was the last time we got together. So let's talk a little more about it. Third parts of the rivers. Okay, this was not some normal asteroid. This is going to be absolutely huge. Interesting fact, I talked about that, how that there's one-third of the world's 246 longest rivers remain free-flowing. I just found that number very amazing, that's available on the Earth today. You can only go without water for how many days? 3 days. That's right. Wormwood means bitterness. Hemlock, it also means calamity, which we have shown that before. Bitter, undrinkable. Remember the waters of Mara, what the children of Israel went through. Many men died. Many men died, meaning humanity died. We talked about, could this ever happen before? Did this ever happen before? We talked about Australia. Remember that? We also talked about Chernobyl, which was interesting. It was called Wormwood, and how things around there were contaminated, made bitter for so long. So imagine if this particular one that they just missed, you know, hit some nuclear facility, what would happen? We would be in a lot of trouble in that area. Of course, it wouldn't fulfill Revelation 8:10, but it sure would bring problems to us, wouldn't it? Absolutely. So we went on, we talked about that. We talked about the destruction that this thing could do. Verse 12, the fourth angel trumpets, the third part of the sun was dimmed, being struck or pounded. The third part of the moon and the stars were dimmed or turned down. So we talked about how the day would be split and how sections of our day would be completely dark, and how that would just not only be crazy, but I think it would mess with people psychologically. Don't you think? Yeah. There's people that live in certain parts of Russia. What do they get, only a couple of hours of daylight? I'm like, there's just no way. I remember we went to Chelyabinsk Russia, Jennifer and I did, and it was supposedly their spring, and there was ice and snow everywhere. And we're like, that's not spring. Spring is shorts, you know, going to the beach. It's just the way it is. Okay, so we talked about all that. Remember the example of Exodus 10, how the darkness was felt? Man, I find that just an amazing thing. You can actually feel the darkness. I believe that's the same type of darkness we're going to have. It's going to be a supernatural darkness. Again, you could find all this in the teaching from last time. Oh, let's see. We talked about the angel crying out that was flying, that most scholars believe in earlier translations say eagle, which is a bird of prey, speaking about what is fixing to happen. Remember, woe, 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 which means grief, grief, grief. And I don't know. I know for me, when I sit back and I look at what's happening in the world, and I think of all the grief that's happening now, how amazingly horrible the times are going to be when God begins to truly, truly deal with man in a very, very strong way. So, whoa, 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 grief, grief, grief. Okay, so tonight, Revelation chapter 9, let's get marching forward. And we're going to talk about the trumpets here, the fifth trumpet. So let's go to verse 1. Let's talk about this real quick. All right. And the fifth angel trumpeted, or he sounded, and I saw a star. Everybody say star. Fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. So let's start this out. This first trumpet is the first, or fifth trumpet is the first woe. Remember, woe, woe, woe is the first woe upon man. This is now going to deal with man in a greater way. We were dealing with the trees, we were dealing with the green grass, we were dealing with one third of the shipping, the ships, the waters. Yes, man was involved in some of these earlier judgments, but now God begins to focus on man. And this gets to be heavy duty from these verses on, because now it's time that the cup is full and God is going to deal with man in a very strong way. Okay? So what I want you to see right here, this star is not a star as in an asteroid. This is actually angelic. This is a supernatural being. Its translation is into a supernatural being, because I'll show you in just a minute why. Even though the word is astur, like asteroid, it's not. Okay, it's not the meaning of it. So the fifth angel sounded, and I saw from a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him, him as a personal pronoun. Is that right? I didn't pay attention in school, but as a personal pronoun. So asteroids don't have a personal pronoun. You have to be a person to get a personal, to get the pronoun, right? Is that right? Is that how it goes? Okay. So it is put to this particular entity a personal pronoun. So we know it's not an asteroid. It is a supernatural being. It's an angel, okay? So it's an angel, and we have plenty of scriptural proof that angels have been called stars. You can go back to where he was talking to the church and how he had in his hands those stars representing the messengers or the pastors. So there's different translations of this particular word, but again, it's an angel. Now, some think this is Satan. Some of your commentaries may have it. Some of your old teachings that you've gone through may say that. I'm not going to argue with anybody. I'm just going to give you some facts, and then you kind of make your decision. Satan doesn't fall until around Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, somewhere in there, when he begins to battle with Michael. Do you all remember that? And then he's cast out of heaven. And so does he fall twice? I don't think so. And then I'm going to show you some more proof in a minute how I don't feel that this is Satan. I believe this is an angel sent from God to do what he's fixing to do. at the end of the day, you know, theologically, it doesn't change anything. I think it just it changes, I guess, in the sense of chronological. It just doesn't make sense for this to be considered Satan. But again, I have to bring it out there because there's so many commentaries out there, and there's some that believe that's what it is. But we definitely know it's not a star or an asteroid. It's a supernatural being. So watch. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given, everybody say given the keys of the bottomless pit. Now, here's my understanding of this, and the reason why I campaign, if you will, for the belief that it is an angel from God is because why would I give the keys to a thief? Why would God give the keys to a thief? Why would he give keys, which represent power and authority, why would he give it to the devil? Right. And to have him do his bidding on this particular event, could he be trusted? See, I think, and you look at the logic of it, it doesn't make sense. It would be more of an angel of God that was sent from heaven to open up this particular bottomless pit, having that authority. Remember, it was given to him. It was given to him. We've seen that all through the beginning of the book of Revelation about power being given to the angels. So that's my view in the beginning part of this. But regardless of how that pans out, we have to again look at it to him, a personal pronoun, and then the fact that it was given. Angels, again, don't have any authority until it's given to them. So we know that. We also know it's not a fallen angel. Again, some say that it could be a fallen angel. I go back to the same debatable information of why would God give keys to a thief? Why would he, after he has bound these fallen angels and these demons in this pit, which we're going to talk about, why would he trust one of their cohorts to go down and do it? Is it, you know, that would be just like saying to a trustee, God, why don't you go down there to section 8, cell number 10, where that mass murderer is, and let him out for recess. Me? Yeah, you, go over there right now. I don't think that trustee would be trusted anymore, do you? I don't think he'd want the job anymore. But I think the guy who's carrying the badge and the stick and whatever else they have, I think that's the guy that would go down there. But that, again, you're not going to miss anything eternity-wise if it turns out to be different. But I believe that's what it was referring to. Okay? Again, this is not Satan falling from the earth. Now, the bottomless pit, here's what you need to see. The bottomless pit, and this is very interesting, and this will kind of give you goosebumps if you really get into studying hell and all these different things about departed spirits and all that. This is not hell. The bottomless pit is not hell, as some people have taught. This is a different place, and this is a place where demons are held. It's called the abyss. Write that down. It's called the abyss. And the bottomless pit that he's speaking of, actually, in when you pull it apart, it's the shaft that leads to the bottomless pit, to where they're contained. So this angel comes down with the keys, the authority. He opens up the shaft to the abyss. Okay? These are fallen angels. These are demons, okay, that are in this particular place. This is not hell. This is not they're partying down and then all of a sudden they get a wake-up call. This is where they have been told to go, where God commanded them to go, all right? Think about it this way. If that shaft doesn't make sense to you, it's like a well. When you have a well, it goes down and then it gets wide. Is that right? Yes, it does. And it becomes wider beneath. Go to Luke chapter 8, verse 28 through 31. Let's look at this real quick. Is this all right? All right, I want to keep you awake. So let's go to Luke chapter 8, verse 28. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell down before him. A loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Okay? for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake his bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. This guy was demon-possessed, huh? And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. The word deep there is abyss. It's the abyss. So they were asking him not to be sent to the abyss. Why? Because that's where demons abided. That's where they were kept in that particular holding cell, if you will, until this particular time. And they are there now. There's coming a day of a release of demon power. And this is what I try to emphasize to the church. You haven't seen anything yet. The things we experience and the supernatural things that take place on the earth as far as evil, we haven't seen anything yet. You're seeing in a two-dimension, three-dimension at the best of what Satan is up to and what's happening. When these are released under the command of God. And they're going to do what God tells them to do. Now that's a whole different story, isn't it? Revelation 1:18, if you'll turn there. Something else I want to show you there. Make sure I got the right the right verse there. Oh, here you go. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have what? The keys of hell and death. I show that to you to remind us that he has the keys. He's not going to give the keys to the devil. That's why I say it has to be a supernatural angel sent from God. And then Revelation 20, 1 through 3. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having what? The key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Again, am I sending the trustee to go down to death row to pick out inmate number 222789? No, I'm going to send a team of big, bad, burly dudes to go take this man to his final resting place. Is that right? Absolutely. It's the same understanding. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Somebody say amen. So go back to chapter 9. So I think there's enough proof, enough evidence to say it isn't the devil, but it's cool however you want to look at it. We're not going to lose fellowship over it. But here it is. He was given to him the key of the bottomless pit. So there is an abyss. Nobody knows where it is. Somebody on YouTube probably knows because God told them only. Bravo, that was good. They have a GPS right to it. They were going to go dig it up, but they decided not to. No, we don't know. We don't know. But I guarantee you, we'll know that day. Now go to verse 2. So check this out. Look what happened. This is the fifth angel. Okay, this is the fifth trumpet. We're in tribulation. We're moving along. And he opened the bottomless pit, or the abyss, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. Think about that. Just out of this abyss comes this type of smoke, this putrid type of smoke, like a furnace, this fire. It causes the air. The sun was darkened by the reason of the smoke. Imagine that. How supernatural an event this is going to be. Are we going to see that? I don't know. I don't know where it is. You know, I don't know how that's going to take place. But all I know, it's going to happen. The interesting thing is the word air is atmospheric. It means the air that we breathe. The air that we breathe. So literally, when this thing opens up, it is going to be atmospheric. So in other words, we have the clouds, we have the sun, we have everything that we see with our natural eyes. This particular opening will cause that to be dimmed again. Now, is this worldwide? We don't know. I would think that it would probably be a supernatural event like that, but it would be to the point to where the air, we would breathe in this particular event. Okay? So just picture a forest fire. You know, what happened over in California? Everybody on the East Coast was smelling the smoke over here. Right. So don't say it's not possible. Right. When Chernobyl had their accident, remember I told you, it went all through Europe, fallout. And who knows how much fallout we got from Fukushima. So on and on it goes. So it can happen, and it will happen, okay? So here we go. This is an incredible scene in itself, and this is going to happen. Next verse. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. So picture with me the shaft, the abyss, it's opened up. Then all of a sudden this smoke comes out, this fire comes out, and locusts come out of that smoke upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, some of your older commentaries say that these are actual locusts. But as we'll study and look here before this evening is over, they're not. They're supernatural beings. They are demons because this is where they're kept. They're kept in the abyss. And so we're going to break down some natural things to prove this. First of all, locusts do not like fire and smoke. Let me try that again. When they get rid of locusts in foreign countries, if they don't have pesticides, they burn crops. They burn fields, and the smoke and the fire chases them off. So right now, in the first point, it's not a natural locust, okay? It is a supernatural being, which we'll show you in just a minute. So it's not something that is normal at all. This is unnatural. Okay, so it says what it was given them. I love this when it says it was given power. It was given power because it tells me they have limitations. When God gives something, He gives it in limitations, especially when it comes to the enemy. And that's what we have to rejoice in, the fact that God is in control. When you read Revelation sometimes by yourself or you let somebody teach it to you, sometimes they teach in a way that just scares your wig off because they don't put the God factor in there and everything's the boogeyman and the devil. I'm not liking what I'm fixing to read to you, but I know who's in control and I know it's limited and I'm going to prove that to you. So it was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now that's pretty amazing because you have two odd things here. You have a locust that's pretty docile, right? All it wants to do is just eat stuff. Yum, 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 yum. You know, they're not bothering nobody. They jump and get off of me, you know, run here, you know. But a scorpion, what does he do? Man, he will tag you. Yeah, he will stang you. That's exactly what he'll do. And I've almost been stanged by one before. I don't know if you've ever been close to one. I have pulled a rock up one time, and it was there, and it had its little tail out. It was ready to hit me. You know, so if you're anaphylactic, you can die from it, for sure. So let's go to the next verse. And it was commanded, there's that word, remember that. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass or the earth, neither eat any green thing or any tree. Now, let's take this another natural example. Now you're telling the locust he can't eat? That's like telling my children, no, you can't go in the pantry, right? They're going to find a way to get in the pantry. right? Jesus is like, I'll scale it. I'll scale the wall, brother. So in the natural, that's not going to happen. So it's not a locust again, but I just wanted to point that out to you. Again, you'll read some of these commentaries or books or whatever, and they'll say, yes, it is. No, it's not. It's not a natural locust. But again, I want you to see the limitations. Always remember that when you see these incremental judgments and you see given power and you see don't do this and don't do that, always think God is in control. He's already negotiated it. He's already laid it out, and he's just going to do this with his hands. He's just going to keep it all under control until it's finished. Okay? So don't eat any of those things that they normally like to eat, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Okay, so first thing I want you to see is that their locusts were given power, which represents authority. This is the definition. It's authority, and it also means the freedom to act. Okay, demon powers, I'm going to give you the freedom to act. This is what you're going to do. But I also wrote down next to that, jurisdiction. Jurisdiction. He's given them jurisdiction. Jurisdiction means I can only do what I am allowed to do and given authority to do in my area of operation. You know, if you're a law enforcement officer, you don't have jurisdiction in three or four counties away unless you've been authorized by the governor and deputized you to do so, or you've been invited over to help by that sheriff. Even then, there's some legal problems there. So just, again, keep thinking about this. These demons will have jurisdiction. All right? Go to Luke chapter 10:19. I wanted to look at that real quick. So we're talking about the scorpions. They have the ability to sting. It means to sting, but it also means to pierce. It means to pierce. Okay? What do we got in Luke 10:19? Behold, I give unto you what? Power to tread upon serpents and what? Scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Notice how he put that together. He's not talking about snake handling. He's not talking about working for a pest control company and killing all the scorpions in the world in the name of the Lord. He's talking demon power and over all the power of the enemy. See how it puts it together? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, can you be saved and taken care of against snakes? Yes, Paul was. Scorpions, absolutely. We all had near misses, dog bites, whatever you want to say. God has protected us. But in this particular scripture, that is a spiritual warfare type of scripture and understanding. Okay? So in my notes next to this verse, I put no fear. No fear. Okay? go back to verse 4. Is that where we were? Verse 4. Yeah, so he commanded them that they should not hurt the grass and all that. Okay, and before I get to the sealed part of the foreheads, I want you to go to Exodus chapter 10. Josh, I'm going to do it this way because it's a lot. I'm going to say Exodus 10, 3 through 6. 3 through 6. And then it'll be verse 13 through 20. So if that's too much to give you, we can kind of go slow. Y'all ready? And Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, tomorrow I will bring locusts into this coast. Yay! Next verse. And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. So has this happened before? Yes. Are we looking at a parallel? Remember we talked about the parallel between the plagues in Genesis and then the judgments of the book of Revelation? There's nothing new under the sun. And they shall fill the houses. Ladies, you're going to hate that. And all the houses of thy servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither they, their fathers, nor their fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. I love that. That's one of my favorite parts of that verse. And he turned himself. In other words, he turned his back on Pharaoh and he walked out. Verse 13 through 20. Okay, so we're seeing a parallel here. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind, remember that judgment, upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they before them, were no such locusts as they were, neither after them shall be such. Next verse. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees, which the hail had left, and there remained not any green thing in the trees. Could you imagine that? Or in the herbs of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Next verse. Then Pharaoh called up Moses. He tried texting him, then he called him. He called for Moses and Aaron in haste. Yeah, I imagine. And he said, I've sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Okay, buddy. Verse 17, now therefore forgive, I pray, thee my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. We won't read any more. You can read the rest. So it has happened in history, but now as you saw what took place in a natural form of locusts that, if you will, were charged up to do what they were supposed to do in Egypt, now you're looking at demon power that have been given limitations, but their limitations are very, very powerful. Okay, so back to verse 4, Revelation chapter 4, chapter 9, verse 4. So this was the eighth plague, by the way, that Israel had walked in with Egypt. So here we go. But only those men which have not the seal of God upon their foreheads or in their foreheads. So this goes back to Revelation chapter 7. This deals with the evangelists. Okay, those that were chosen, the 144,000 Jews, Jewish evangelists. These demonic powers do not have any authority over them and are not allowed to hurt them. Well, it's not only just them, but it's also us, because we're here on the earth at the same time. And Ephesians 4 verse 30 says that we've already been sealed. Let's go to that real quick. See, God doesn't have to repeat himself of something that's already done. The children, these 144,000, this is something new. This is them being saved at this particular time, as we taught on Revelation chapter 7. They just come on the scene where the church has already been on the scene. Does that make sense? God doesn't have to mention again, because some teachers will say, well, see, it's only them, it's only them. No, we're here. And what's that? Oh, that's what did I tell you to go to? Ephesians 4:30? Ephesians 4:30? And there's other scripture, but grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So how long am I sealed? Until I'm redeemed. Either I'm redeemed by the grave, or I'm redeemed through the coming of the Lord. I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost. Okay? You're sealed by the Holy Ghost. We have that seal. So go back to chapter 9 there. And what is interesting is that word seal means signet, it means impression, but it also means mark. Again, we talk about the wrong mark all the time. The church is so backwards. They're so worried about this mark and that mark. Why don't you talk about the mark of the Lamb? Why don't you talk about the mark that matters? Okay? And that's what it is, the mark. And it's, we are sealed. So, putting that into context, look at this now. You have the abyss opening up. You have this locust coming out. You have them circumnavigating the earth. And they are using the power of a scorpion to sting, but it's not touching the church, and it's not touching those that have been sealed, the 144,000 Jews. Go to the next verse. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. 5 months. The word given means to be granted. They were granted. He gave them. Again, there's that word again. He gave, given, granted. God gives them limitations, and he gives them the power. What does it say? To torment? Is that what it says? The definition is to torture, to distress. But it also, watch this. I want to really emphasize this. They come out of the abyss. They circumnavigate the earth. They are stinging men. Just think of your neighbors that's unsaved. Just think of somebody in the marketplace, a family member, unsaved, and they're stinging them. Demon power stinging them. But they're not dying. Stinging them, tormenting them, and torturing them. And I know in our mind we're like, okay, how do I process this? Believe me, it will happen, and it will happen just the way I'm teaching it to you. They will have the ability to sting them and torment them. But watch this. There's grace in this. I'm going to show you something a lot of teachers won't show you. This grace, there's redemption in this, because in that definition, it means to also test as to purify gold. It also means to test for the purity of gold. What am I telling you? I'm telling you during the first woe, because I believe the three woes are the three last warnings to humanity, because you watch this progression go off the scale, the charts. It goes completely to just unthinkable what God's about to do. And he begins on this particular judgment of man with just stinging them. And again, one of the definitions there, when it's tormented for 5 months, it means to also to test the purity of gold. He's testing the heart of men. If man was damned by now on this particular chapter, then there's no hope. But man is not damned yet. Man is being stung. He's being challenged. He's being changed in some forms. I believe people are going to get saved in this time. Could you imagine this? Imagine this happening. And it's going to happen this way. And you really got to take the ride with your imagination to this reality of what's going to take place, because it will. It will happen. So for 5 months, 5 months. Now you look at that and say, what, why 5 months? Well, I look at biblical numerology. I say five is the number of grace. God does it for a period of grace. But also, there's a natural context there, because anytime a locust invasion takes place, it only lasts about 5 months. So there's a natural connotation there that you could put in there. Regardless, aren't you glad it's not 6 months? You know what I mean? Or 5 years. It's 5 months. Do you think maybe your mean old uncle would finally get saved after 5 months of getting stung? Maybe so. Okay? But this is going to be tormented. All right, they're going to be tormented by this. And it also, the 5 months could mean a short period of time. 5 months is not too long. Okay, so isn't that that's amazing? And the torment was that a torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. So somehow these supernatural beings are going to have the ability to torment mankind, all of mankind. Listen to me again. I throw out names all the time. You know, I don't care if he's Mick Jagger, if he's still living. It don't matter who he is. Bill Gates. It don't matter. Donald Trump. It don't care who your name is. Joe Biden, if he's still alive. It will sting if they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Right. Watch this now. Next verse. And in those days shall men seek death. They'll literally seek death. Here's what it means. The seek means to look or demand. They'll demand death. They will literally demand death, and they shall not find it. Are you listening to me? They're going to be so tormented, they're going to be so tested, they're going to be so tortured that they want to die, and they can't die. And shall not find it, and shall desire to die. The word desire means to lust. They will lust to die, and they can't, because death literally flees from them, which means to run away or to vanish. You can't even commit suicide. God forbid all that anyways, but a man, he can't commit suicide. I don't think we process this very well. It's going to take time to really get it in our hearts and imagine what's going to happen, the depth of this judgment, but yet it's still a wake-up call to man. Man can't die. He'll want to die. He says, I'm done with being tormented. I'm done with this. I'm finished with this. I can't do this anymore. And it doesn't matter. You will live in this pain. They will live in this pain. I'm telling you, you need to get every person you know that's not saved to hear this teaching, or at least teach them yourself and say, buddy, you don't even want to know what's going to happen to you. You think it's bad now. You know, you're worried about paying your bills and you're cussing God and you're sleeping around and you're doing this. I'm telling you, there's demon power that's coming. I can't emphasize it enough. And you're going to try to die and you can't. Jump off that building and you land on your feet somehow and live. And they get stung again.
That's right.
No, it perpetual. Bam, bam, bam. bam. And if you can't see the mercy and grace of God, he's trying to reach out to man, and he's saying, look, I'm telling you, because what's coming, you're going to harden your heart. God doesn't want anybody to die. We've taught this book so wrong. We have a bad picture of God. He don't want nobody to go to hell. All right, next verse. He's trying to let hell come on earth so man would not go to hell. Now let's do the description. So the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. I've never seen a locust look like a horse. If it did, I was running the other way. Prepared unto battle. And on their heads was like, as it were, crowns like gold. This is the only other place where that word crowns is used for the same crown of the Lord and the same crown of saints. So in other words, they have like unto gold, but a certain crown that God gives them. It's a type of, a victory crown because of what they're about to do. It's the only way I can interpret it. But it's very interesting, and I'll give you the... if I can find that number for you, when I do, I'll give that to you so you can look it up. So they were like horses equipped for battle. All right? They're coming. These things are coming, and they're going to be riding all across the earth. Joel 2:4, we're not going to go there, but describes locusts this way, that their appearance was like that of horses, and their gallop like war horses. Here's what I want you to see through that depiction, is that these things are coming with speed and they're coming with determination. That's to torment men. Please hear what I'm telling you. This is not an aside part of Nigeria or somewhere down in Chicago or maybe in South Miami. This is the world will be affected by these demon powers that will be on the earth, these entities. Their heads were like something like gold. Here it is, Greek 47:35. Stephanos, 47:35. Only worn by Christ and the saints. Okay, they only wear something like gold crowns. Some people think that it's basically an imitation. So it's an imitation because they feel that, you know, they're the kingdom of darkness and they have a leader, which I'm going to show you in just a minute. So that's what it could allude to. But here you go. And their faces were like the faces of men. Okay, now I'm freaked out, aren't you? I've never seen a locust look like, you know, Uncle Bob. Men's faces, they're intelligent and able to discern between those who wear God's mark of protection and those who don't. Again, they're intelligent beings. They're supernatural beings. They're fallen angels. They're demon powers because they can differentiate between who's marked and who's not. I don't think a locust cares. He just wants to eat the tree. They have hair like woman's hair. Okay? Some, perhaps a reference to warriors like Samson. They are granted destructive strength. Listen to this. An Arabic proverb compares the antennas of locusts to the hairs of that of girls. So they have an ancient proverb that says that they have hair that looks like girls' hair. Either way, they have hair as the hair of women and their teeth as the teeth of lions. This is bad. Now, I know there are some people that will superimpose this and say, well, it's robotics and it's AI and all that. It's demon power. It's supernatural demon power that's going to come out of the abyss, not out of Elon Musk's laboratory. Come on, somebody, or somebody else's laboratory. We'll have enough of that stuff to go on anyways, but this is different. This is absolutely supernatural. Their teeth are like lion's teeth. Like Satan, they roam the earth, seeking whom they may devour. We know that Joel 1:6 describes invading locusts as having the teeth of a lion. So we know this is biblical. This is has historical backing in other scriptures. So let's go to the next verse. Are you freaked out yet? They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings as the wings or the sounds of chariots of many horses running to battle. So again, this is, I don't know how to explain it because we live in a normal life. You know, everything's pretty cool. We got the air conditioner on, we got lights on, life is pretty cool. We know what we're gonna do, we're gonna leave here, we're gonna get a snack, we're gonna go home, you know, right? But this is not going to be that. This is going to be totally, everything's going to be out of whack. And these locusts are going to be running the earth, sounding like battle horses, sounding like thunder, looking to torment everybody you know that's not marked.
I don't believe it's going to happen that way.
That's what the mind says. Guess what? It will absolutely happen that way. Why? It's the Bible. Watch this. The sounds of wings is like the sound of chariots with many horses rushing into battle. The very sound of their approach strikes fear in the hearts of people. You know, when I was reading this, the only thing I could think of was the movie Gargoyles. Flo looked at me like, what? Don't even Google it. Don't even look it up. That movie, I hated it when I was a little child, and I hate it to this very day. But Gargoyles, however you say it, it was about these demon-like things. And I'm telling you, that's the only thing I can think of. And this is the best that John can describe it, right? But you can imagine this army that is coming. Verse 10. We're going to try to get to two more verses, so please give me a couple minutes. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Again, God says it again. He repeats himself. I'm going to sting you. Hey, you won't stop fornicating. You won't stop. You rejected me. I'm going to sting you. I'm going to allow these things to torment you. I'm telling you. All right, next verse. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, not the one that came down, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon, which means the destroyer or destroying one, which is speaking of Satan. Okay, so that's why they have the crown. That's why they think, you know, hey, we're out of the pit. You know, we got our deal here. You have limitations, pal. You can only go so far. You can only go so long, and you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do, and then I'm going to put you back in your hole. Somebody say amen to that. Here's another proof. Give me two or three more minutes. Proverbs 30, verse 27. The proof to you that these are not natural locusts. I think you're convinced by now, but just in case you're not, Proverbs 30, verse 27 says this. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them by bands. Good enough for me, don't you think? They have no king. All right? But the angel of the abyss, that is their king. So he rules over the demonic forces, doing exactly what he tells them to do. Verse 12, we're going to get out of here. Watch this. One woe is past, and behold, there come two more woes more hereafter. When I read that, here's what I see. I see the grace of God warning humanity. I warned you. Woe, woe, woe. Grief, grief, grief. Shut up. Bam. Out of the bottomless pit comes these locusts, stings men to the point to where they want to die, they can't die, invades the earth for 5 months. God pulls back for just a moment and says, the first woe is gone. I'm telling you, I'm warning you again. And this would be his heart. This would just be like he is, giving you three strikes, giving you three chances. Please, I'm telling you, it's going to get worse on you. Humanity, it's going to get worse on you, and there's nothing that can stop this. Think about this locust for a second. You can't buy any Raid. DET, you know, you can't buy bug spray, mosquito spray. You can't, there ain't nothing going to stop this because it's supernatural. But then he comes to this point and he says it again. One woe is past, and behold, there come two more woes hereafter. You know what? If he was such a bad, mean God, he ain't got to tell you about no other woes. Because it'd be woe on you. But he warns humanity. This is a beautiful story to me, even though that sounds like an oxymoron with what's going on. But I still see the grace of God in this. How does it work for you and I? Hey, I believe that the greatest harvest is coming. That's why I say the greatest harvest is coming. How many of these men and women would come to you as family and say, I'm done with this stuff. you are right. I read it. I heard what you said. I don't want no more. Do you believe that they can get saved? I do. And it would stop? I do. Because then they would be sealed into the day of redemption. We got a lot of work to do. A lot of exciting times. Father, we love you. We see the signs of the times, the precursors all around us. We see it. Father, we're very aware of what's happening. Help us to continue to walk in boldness and faith and get ready for these days the best that we possibly can. Because I believe there's going to be a supernatural maturing of the church and equipping to be able to walk through these coming days. Father, bless your people, everybody, everywhere, with a great ending to their week, and bring us all back for Sunday morning celebration. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. I love you guys. See you Sunday.